Welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
Well, Chris, fantasy championship season's long over, and now NFL championship season just came to a crashing close, my friend.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We had that NFC game circled for a while. I think that you and I were pretty jacked up about that game, and you know, I don't know if Palmer was injured, like some people are speculating, or what the story was, but that game spiraled out of control pretty quickly.
No one can say they weren't surprised by that. And whether or not he's injured or not, certainly was a big disappointment that the Arizona team couldn't take away that moxie that the Panthers are carrying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was that opportunity with the Peterson interception when it was 17-7 and then he got stripped. If he doesn't get stripped there, maybe it's 17-10 or 17-14. They got a little bit of momentum and it's a game. I think, you know, the line was only 3 points. I think that it was definitely surprising that it was that much of a blowout. But, we'll see what happens in the Super Bowl here. We were definitely surprised by that outcome. And then the Patriots, the bloodbath continues with strength and conditioning coach gone and offensive line coach gone.
Didn't take long for that offensive line coach to go. The most telling stat there, of course, if you haven't heard or seen it, Tom Brady was hit more in that game than any NFL quarterback the entire season.
Yeah, and basically the most of any time that they've measured the hit statistic, which goes about 10 years, I believe, is when they started tracking hits. 23 hits is the most that we've seen, or tied for the most. It's one of the two. So that was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I would say that's a kind word for it, but the offensive line coach was made the immediate sacrificial lamb for that. And as listeners know, I'm not a huge Pats fan by a long stretch, but I do love NFL quarterbacks. And they just that Denver defensive line, they're talking about Denver winning the game and coaching and everything. And it came down to that offensive line and defensive line, period.
Yeah, the Pats defense played pretty well in the second half.
They did.
Jamie Collins had two bad plays the whole game, both against Owen Daniels, which led to the two touchdowns. And that was the difference, man. That was the difference, if you want to look at it. People blaming Gostkowski, I'd say that Collins, even though he was a monster rushing the quarterback, is just as much to blame, if not more so. So I know a lot of people in New England are upset with Gostkowski, but I mean, the dude made 500 extra points in a row. Law of averages.
So, you know, takeaway, just impact and thoughts about next year. I mean, we were on top of Brady this year. We were very excited. We knew he'd be driven, and he sure was. Will we see more of the same and a better wide receiver crew this coming year with some more offensive line help? Is that a takeaway? Stay away from the New England running backs. Is that a takeaway? You know, what's your takeaway from the Pats for next year in August? What are we doing in August?
I'm still researching it, but the strength and conditioning coach being dismissed was interesting, I thought, because the Pats, I'm trying to look this stat up, but this year, obviously, they were pretty ravaged by injury. But I think in years past, they haven't had very much luck with injuries either. Last year was probably one of their better years as far as injury luck goes. But man, they were brutal this year. And that stat that they called out during the game was the most telling, where Brady was the only offensive starter who started every single game of the year. And that tells you pretty much everything you need to know. Deion Lewis, I'm interested to see where he goes this offseason in full PPR leagues. If he falls into the fourth and fifth round, that guy would have made a huge, huge difference in that game against Denver.
And he had his most extensive play time. So he probably will, in my opinion, he'll get himself ready for more of that toughness that it's just required for the type of hits a guy like that will take. I think he will be a very big impact player next year. I agree 100% with you. On the other side, though, Chris, there's no way Manning's coming back. I mean, it's just not there. And, you know, it's almost like you want to see Osweiler playing now because you can get an idea of what to do with Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. But on that offensive side of the ball, it's pretty frightful this year, more than last year.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they're obviously not going to change quarterbacks at this point. But there were some really bad throws in that game. He's getting by with what he can, and I think the craziest difference about Peyton Manning right now is the hits that he's taking that you just never saw him take.
Never.
He is taking some ferocious hits, and that is kind of the jarring thing to me. And certainly, hopefully this week is it, because that's what gets me worried, is when you see a guy taking hits like that. You don't want somebody to get hurt, because that could be really bad with, you know, the way he's spinning around to his blind side. And he's lucky that he hasn't gotten a little bit more hurt because of some of these bad hits.
Oh, I
just shows you how tough he is.
I am surprised. Yeah, you're spot on there. I have to say this, watching the time when Osweiler did play. Now, granted, he hasn't had a lot of time, you know, play, but I'm going to struggle with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders in the second round, Chris. I just don't see them being there for me on that. I just can't see myself doing it.
Well, I think Emmanuel is going to fall, which is funny because Emmanuel and Osweiler really had something going.
They did well.
They did very, very well. Osweiler is a mid-range quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he's a slightly below average NFL starter. He has the entire offseason and Kubiak to coach him up. I think that he might be a viable option. And Thomas is still going to go high. But
yeah.
I think that Emmanuel Sanders is an interesting target for next year, because I think that he might have a pretty nice year. And not to mention, we'll see who they end up drafting. They kind of foolishly gave up some picks for Vernon Davis, which doesn't look so good right now. I don't know if it's just taken a little while to know the offense or what the heck's going on there. But yeah, they could use a few of those more mid round picks back. Those sometimes can turn out pretty well. But C.J. Anderson. Well, we were talking about Chris Johnson earlier.
Yeah.
Sorry, C.J. Anderson. He's looked pretty good, man.
Oh, I know. He has looked like they should have given the ball 10 more times. I agree with you. And speaking of running backs, then. You know, we were talking earlier about what's going to happen in next year's or in August drafts for first round running backs, and you know my hesitancy to invest there now, worse than last year. But however, I do have to ask, David Johnson in the beatdown still looked great. You know, he got up every time, took a punch, kept playing. Where does that rookie go next year or in August?
So that's the thing I kind of like about next year is that. So you look at what happened to Arizona this year. This is one thing that I want to point out. I tweeted about this too. But when you look at how Denver beat New England and how Carolina beat the Cardinals, much of it was about the interior offensive line just getting blown up on every single play and allowing the edge rushers to really kind of wreak havoc. And I think that if Arizona can improve their interior offensive line by just a little bit, it's going to change their team so much. And, you know, they came into this year playing with a vengeance because of what happened to them in the playoffs last year. I don't necessarily expect any different next year at this time. Larry Fitzgerald still has two more years, as far as I'm concerned. Floyd is coming on, and they still have John Brown. They have a great trio of wide receivers, and David Johnson should be a first rounder. We'll see if he actually is after kind of this little negative trend in the playoffs. Might scare some people off. If he's a second rounder, that's phenomenal for his value.
I can't help myself. He's a second rounder. I'm with you. You know, we're going to have a guest on once a month. I just talked with him. I want to call him, and you're going to kill me now because I know it's a show that you're familiar, that you're one of your favorite movies. I want to call him Theo or Creo from The Matrix. What was The Matrix? What was Keanu Reeves' name in The Matrix?
Neo.
There you go.
Wow.
Creo. Rio, Neo, Theo. Anyways, I want to call him Neo. It's Vincente from Sports Manias. And if you haven't checked this out, this is still a great app in the off season because you will get all the beat writer news for your teams or your players as to where they're going. You get all the news on your fantasy players one place. Download that Sports Manias with an S app, and you'll get all your fantasy personalized player news. You'll get set up and dominate in August, Chris. It's a fun app because I get right to my newspaper articles.
Yeah, and we've got an interview coming up in the second half of the show here with Jim Collins, who won the SBFFC, and we're going to have him and Brian Harwood on. And one thing that Jim really harps on is that every week you got to put your time in with the free agents and the waiver wire, and Sports Manias makes it way easier if there's a guy that you're looking at, to just kind of jump into that team news, take a look at what's going on there. Very, very helpful in that endeavor if you don't have every waking hour to check Twitter and, you know, set up Google News alerts. You can just use Sports Manias to kind of do a one-stop shop for your news for guys who you're looking into.
Sure helped me a lot, and I'll remember that name Neil now for at least another 5 years. So Neil will be on probably next week. And what do we got for a show coming up Saturday?
I think that we need to get you some HGH to kind of
– Yeah, what about
that? The brain, it kind of helps you – I try to keep you as young as possible, you know, with various endeavors and telling you to check things out to keep you in tune. But Neo's rough. What do you
– I was thinking about it. I couldn't remember. You know, what are they – they're going to air Peyton Manning's interview on that after the Super Bowl. Don't you love that?
Yeah. So humor me and tell me who Neo's mentor was. Lawrence Fishburne played him.
Oh, I know. I love that guy. I can't remember his name, but he was awesome. He's Lawrence Fishburne.
He is Lawrence Fishburne, not born.
Born. He drove a really cool spaceship.
It wasn't really a spaceship. It was in the core of the Earth.
Yeah,
so
whatever. But, spaceship. Come on.
In any case, wow. You
had to get away from those tentacle things.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was his name?
That was Morpheus.
Morpheus! Yeah. That's fantastic. I loved Morpheus. Yeah. And then they had a pretty attractive sidekick there.
Trinity, yeah. And the Sentinels were the tentacle things.
The Sentinels. Yes. I haven't seen a movie so long, but see, the benefit of that
it's
is...
It's on TV constantly. I watch it
on purpose. I put movies like that away. I want to wait like 5, 6 years, 7 years and watch it and really love it again. You know, I don't beat a movie to death. I don't like doing that.
Has the family seen that movie?
Some, not all. And I've been saving it for that reason. So do we recommend, since we're in here, we're doing this, we're in the Matrix now. Do you recommend 2 and 3 again? Or do I?
No, you pretend 2 and 3 never, ever happened.
Never happened.
It just ends at the end of 1. That's the last. They only made 1. Can you believe it? Good it was? They only made 1. Isn't that cool?
I'm literally looking at the movie over in the case right now. I can see it over there, but I haven't touched it in years.
Yeah. They only made 1, too. That's what
it's like. Inception. I haven't watched Inception in 3 years. I'm going to give it 2 more years before I watch it again. I love that movie.
Do you want to know why we're going way off track here?
We are. But they either stop listening to us, or they're like, oh, those guys are really the idiots I thought they were.
Do you want to know the only reason why I saw The Matrix?
Why?
Because my friend and I wanted to see the trailer that was attached to it, which was Star Wars Episode 1. And when they didn't play the Star Wars trailer that we hadn't seen at that point, because the internet wasn't what it is today, we almost walked out.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah,
but then decided to watch it anyway. Because we didn't have a ride because we couldn't drive.
Oh.
I don't know how we got into a rated R movie.
That's sheltered life.
But yeah.
All right. So in any case, Saturday.
Yeah. So Saturday we're doing Hot Stove. I think that we're just going to do straight news. We'll see what kind of content we got. I got a couple ideas that we've talked about for some content. But for now, what we're talking about is we've kind of talked about this concept of, if you just drafted a complete bust at all 16 spots, you would have a rough first couple of weeks. But it seems like these last 3 or 4 years, and maybe even longer, I'd have to look back, but you can build a borderline championship team with just free agents.
Yep.
And so that's why we talk about establishing value and getting the most valuable guy in the most valuable spot. And if it's not working, being willing to cut the cord if you don't think that there's a bright future. Because the free agency moves that you can make are pretty impressive. And Jim's going to go into pretty good depth about how he won his entire league because of, I'd say, the majority free agent decisions.
Yeah, I mean, he ended up with a championship roster with Tim Hightower and Jordan Reed on it. They weren't even drafted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the amazing thing is that you can definitely – one thing that we talked about is that you can see it sometimes when a guy, he says, oh, I want Julio Jones on every single one of my teams this year. And Julio Jones gets scooped up in front of him and you can just see him sink.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that because you never know who's going to be on the free agent wire. You don't know what's going to happen in week 1, week 2, and guys who you can pick up. Deion Lewis. Think about Deion Lewis this past year and how great he was for the first couple weeks. And, man, he was not being drafted. That guy was not being drafted until he was being picked up as a free agent after week 1.
That's right.
So you can 100% do it. The other thing that we want to talk about is the SBFFC ton of fun along with the KFFC. We had a ton of fun at all those leagues and out in Vegas with the F. I can never say the acronyms. I'm like,
they just do it to us on purpose. The FFPC in Vegas. Yeah. And next year we got to do FFWC because we got like 16 invites and people wanted us to do teams with them out in that format over at, I guess that was at Bellagio. I don't remember now. And so we're going to do that one next year too. That was different. They're smaller rooms and that looks like a little more fun where you can kind of complain to each other. I like that.
Yeah. So we've talked about it. It's fun. The in-person draft is kind of dying a little bit. It's going a lot to online. So it's definitely nice to kind of rekindle that, talk to some people, have some fun. So be on the lookout. We'll be talking about a bunch of those leagues and we'll be talking about one of those leagues tonight and talking to the winner, Jim Collins.
Well, sports fans, we've got a special treat tonight on the All Purpose Roto Show. Every Wednesday, we've been coming at you with the daily game lately, but we've run out of games. We're down to one big game. So we thought we'd take this opportunity to bring a winner on board. And boy, do I wish I was in his seat tonight. Champion of the SBFFC, that's the Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Football, Jim Collis is joining our show with his illustrious commissioner. I'll let him introduce the 2015 champion. Go ahead, Mr. Harwood.
Well, we'd like to introduce, this is a four-year veteran of the Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Football Championship. Came from the great state of Georgia, has won division titles 2 years in a row in the league saved .com division. This year he wanted something more, so he went out and won the 2015 SBFFC World Championship. He's going to be us all proud. Mr. Jim Collins, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Glad you guys have me on.
Hey, Jim, one of the things we're going to want to do, Jim, is kind of pick your brain, taking a look at your draft from way back there. I'm sure that was in August. And then also ask you some questions on free agency, naturally. Very interesting to me to see how rosters are constructed and what happens during the season. And a lot of us, I had some success this year. I always want more. And a lot of our great listeners out there, of course, are wondering, why didn't my team win? I liked it when I left the draft on draft day. And why don't we start out with Chris? I think he's got a question on your draft.
So why don't you talk about your first four picks, I would say. Who do you remember who your first four picks were? Because your final roster ended up a little bit different.
I pretty much know at least three of the four because I went into every draft that I've been in last year thinking I wanted to get three of these guys in the first four rounds. The great thing about the SBFFC is you can pick your slot using free agent money. They do an auction for the slots. And I'm not a big fan of spending money early, so I actually sat and waited till there were a couple spots left. I think I ended up at 1.8. But I was absolutely going after Julio Jones in every draft in the first round and Andrew Luck in the second. So right there, I just thought, this is the top quarterback in the league this year. This is the top wide receiver. Obviously, I hit 50% on that, so... but then Matthews, the Philadelphia's wide receiver, I went after him really hard. And then quarterback and two wide receivers, I had to go look at running back at that point and really just whoever was available that I really was keen on in a good situation. Situation over talent in a lot of cases at that point.
Jim, I look at those first four picks and, a lot of people will shake their head going, man, I outdrafted that guy. You had Andrew Luck in round two and Andre Ellington in round four, but yet you recovered. How did you do that? And at what point in the season did you realize, hey, two of my top four guys, I got to replace?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, the Luck injury completely caught me off guard, as did anybody else who took him early. I had him penciled in at least 40 touchdowns, and leading the league in passing yards, that type of thing. So it caught me off guard, but quarterback this year was really deep, and I was able to pick up Derek Carr. I kept watching four or five quarterbacks sitting there every round, so I knew there'd be somebody available that I liked. But I was able to pick up Derek Carr in the 18th round. Which was a steal, as it turns out. He ended up being a top 12 quarterback. But more than that, you have to stay active during the year. And as soon as luck went down, I basically was able to get Jay Cutler in week five, and then in week eight, picked up Tyrod Taylor, and then in week 10, actually came away with Marcus Mariota. So each of those played a huge part in keeping a win streak alive or putting up points every week, adding to a total. The Ellington pick was, I like Bruce Arians. I like the fact that he wants a runner. I did not see Chris Johnson doing what he did. So that backfired almost immediately. But anytime I go into a draft, the way I safeguard some of that is once I've filled out a couple of core positions, wide receiver, running backs, that I think this is my starting lineup, then I start looking at young talent in a really good situation. Nile Davis, David Johnson, Matt Jones, all those guys, you know, if the starter goes down, they're in a great situation to pick up a lot of touches. And that can pay off. If the starter doesn't go down, you know, you obviously just secured some depth. But that's basically the way I looked at it.
Yeah, that's an excellent approach. We're going to talk about some of those running back hits you had in later rounds, which they were very impressive. Brian, Southern Bluegrass, not all of our listeners are going to be familiar with that contest and live event that you have orchestrated and put together down there. They're familiar with our work at KFFFC and out at FFPC in Vegas. But tell our folks a bit about the Southern Bluegrass.
Well, I'll tell you what, about the Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Championship happens on Saturday, August 25th, 2016. Everybody in the SBFSC is going to know what all-purpose roto is. And everybody, all the listeners in the all-purpose roto is going to know what the SBFSC is. We're going to have this our seventh event coming up. It's going to be Saturday, August 20th of 2016 at the NYSA Center Live at Bowling Green. We'll have two online divisions as well. This is kind of an exclusive group. You know, we'll have 12 divisions of 12. And Jim's going to be defending his title, and he's going to be tough to beat. And the main approach I saw from Jim's strategy was he stayed in contention all year long. He was, you know, staying at top four or five, got a number three or four seed, and played the top two seeds in tournament, beat them because a lot of reasons, because he had a lot of free agent bids. Like a lot of people in that division, including myself, blew their lot early. So Jim is kind of laid back and played smart, and he used a lot of free agent money in the playoffs where a lot of other people did not. And that strategy worked wonders for him. Pick up Allen Robinson. I think that was the player of the year for him. You know, from weeks 10 to 14, he was hotter than a firecracker. But the Southern Bluegrass Saints Football Championship is sponsored by Buffalo Trace Bar. And they'll be kind of on their six-year sponsorship this year with us. And they give away a lot of free bourbon, and they help cater the event as well. Think about when you come down to Bowling Green that it's going to be like the FFPC. That's you're having another Las Vegas-style tournament in Bowling Green. And the West Kentucky University dance team does an excellent job. We've got the best owners. And we've got the hungriest owners as well. Most of our owners want to prove themselves to get a lot better. And more of our owners are getting into the, you know, the FFPCs in Vegas and the more world championships. And getting an SBFSC is going to make you a better owner because we have quarterback touchdowns were 6 points apiece. And, you know, starting the 10 starters and the 10 bench. And also, you know, no other contest does this. Now, you know, you bid for your spot, but once you win a spot, you pick where you go. That's what sets from everybody else in terms of, like, the draft position. So yes, Nobody's going to know where you're drafting until you go in there. And that's where the free agent bid money's coming in. And every owner's got a different threat. So it's very tough to win. And, you know, Jim Wynn, I've been very proud of him. He stood the course and, you know, wrote it out. He told me himself, you know, he had a couple of minor mistakes that he made, but he persevered and still won the thing. And I'm very proud of him for that.
Yeah, we've been telling folks that, you know, get out of your shell and find some of these events that are in your region. The Southern Bluegrass down there is a great example with Brian. you'd be amazed at all these events, at how relaxed and kind of fun you can have down there. It's not just out there cutthroat. When you first said hungry, I thought we were going to talk food, and then I thought thirsty, and then I was thinking Buffalo Trace. So you kind of misled me there, Brian. But I am thinking about Buffalo Trace right now because I've been up through that distillery a few times, and I have enjoyed myself every time. They do some pretty neat events up there. Hey, Jim, I got to tell you, one of the things looking at your draft that I think really, really made a big difference, and it's two players that I did not target. I definitely undervalued them, and I paid the price for it. You picked up Allen Robinson in the fifth round. You know, a lot of people were talking about they liked him, but you pulled the trigger in the fifth round on him. And then you got Chris Ivory in an eighth. That's a guy Chris kept telling me to stay after. I kept pushing him down boards. And even when he was at the right round, I really looked for someone else. What was it about those two players that you were ready to pounce on them in the fifth and eighth round?
Well, as far as Robinson, you know, he came in with a lot of hype this year, coming off last year with the injury and everything, but I just really like Jacksonville's situation. They were going to be behind in a lot of games, and I like Bortles as a second QB, so I thought they'd be throwing a lot. But, you know, he kind of got lost in the shuffle. Other than the preseason hype, he was lost last year due to injury and such, and I don't think a lot of people thought of him as a top 10 quarterback, and I saw all the factors that could put him there, so I actually grabbed him, I think, and Brian could probably tell you this, in nearly every league that we played in together, I had Julio Luck and either Matthews or Allen Robinson. And in this case, I was able to get both. So, that, you know, as far as a wide receiver, I used to be a running back heavy guy, and I will play that way if I see a draft going wide receiver heavy. I'll take value on running backs. But lately, I've been seeing if you can land a couple of key wide receivers early that would blow up in a great offense, that can carry you consistently in scoring. And then you just piece together your running backs. And in the case of Ivory, I mean, who else is going to run the ball? I really just didn't. I like him. I've liked him since he was with the Saints. I think he's undervalued. Certainly around the goal line, he scores a lot. But I just kept going back to they're going to be a defensive team, and they're going to hand off the ball a lot. You know, looking at the situation, they didn't have a very good quarterback situation, so they're going to hand off the ball a lot, and who's going to beat him out? You know, Ridley wasn't coming back yet. Bilal Powell hasn't proven anything week to week. So I just thought that's great value with him sitting there in the eight. It worked out well and carried me for the first part of the year. Later in the year, he kind of faded, and I had to replace him with some of the other guys.
Hey, Brian, you know, you get to see all these drafts, and of course, I saw you at other events in August and out in Vegas. I want to ask you a question about what might happen to running backs next year. Everyone, of course, looking at this, Chris has been talking about this actually since August. In this particular draft, I'll let the listeners know, the first picks are Peterson, Jamal Charles, then Eddie Lacy, then Le'Veon Bell, then Antonio Brown. Got to love that there, fifth, and then Lynch. Brian, you know, four of those, there's five running backs, four of those guys were bust. What's going to happen next year at running back in the first round?
Well, look, who knows what Le'Veon Bell would have done if he didn't get hurt. But however, he did miss the, early part of the season, and he was well on his way, but he might have burned out too because he runs hard. I'm getting back to, Jim having Tim Hightower. I picked up Tim Hightower in several leagues out in Las Vegas. And online, and I think he was a direct correlation of me winning money and the FWPC auction case first place overall on that. Because my initial thing on Hightower was that he's been out of the league a couple of years. He didn't prove anything really in Arizona, but he had the opportunity. And he proved that he still had some gas left in the tank. So next year's running back situation, I mean, you had all these guys going out for the season, and then you had these replaces that some of them did better than the first guy they had at the beginning of the season. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to look like But the running back crop is going to be stronger because there's more of other players to pick up and have the opportunity. However, the staff may not be as much there because some of the running backs are on the same team.
Well, Chris, so, hey, let me ask this to Chris then. You know, we get a lot of questions, and, you know, and I spend time on that because I want to give good advice, and I want people to make their own decision. And that's what we always try to focus here. We give some opinions and then say, hey, you got to make the trigger. But Chris, I mean, yeah. how can I recommend someone taking running backs in rounds 1 and 2 with that type of carnage? And then you look at Jim's roster here, his week 16 championship roster has Tim Hightower and James White on it, Chris. So can I tell anyone to take running backs in round 1 and 2?
You know, what we've talked about is basically everyone has their right spot. So even a guy who's going to be a bust who we don't necessarily like, so like DeMarco Murray, this past year, neither of us had him on any teams hardly. But if he had fallen to a certain point, he's worth the risk. So I know that you're not the biggest fan of Le'Veon Bell this year. But if he falls to the mid to late first round, I'm taking him. I might not take him at the top of the first round, but that's the scenario in which I think you can be comfortable drafting running backs, is when the value seems appropriate to you. You shouldn't overdraft them or feel like, oh, I only have one running back, or, oh, I don't have any running backs, I need to take a running back, because that's when you make mistakes, I think. You should always take the guy with the best value at the best spot.
Well, Jim, you obviously were good at that. As I mentioned, Hightower and White on your championship roster. It's another player I didn't notice when I first took a look at your draft board, and I'm assuming you picked him up in free agency. The tight end drafting in this league was interesting, and of course, that's a big challenge for all of our listeners. Jordan Reed was on your starting roster that championship weekend. He had some big games for you. How'd you get Reed, and what do you think of him?
Well, it's funny because I came in, you know, I took Julius Thomas in the night, again, thinking Jacksonville's going to be throwing, and backed him up with Ertz in the 11th. I had already had my quarterback that I thought was going to be solid, my running backs, and my wide receiver core, and now I wanted to secure some tight ends, and since it's a flex position, you play two running backs, two wide receivers, and then two flex. I really thought I may end up with playing both these guys all year. But, and again, it comes back to staying active in your league. The first week of free agency, I scour, see who might have been missed in drafts, you know, who was being overlooked that I thought might play out later in the year. And week one of free agency picked up Jordan Reed, for $11. I was the only person to bid on him, picked him up for $11, and just stashed him on the roster. And so I rode with the three tight ends pretty much all year. And, you know, when you play one right in the week that Reed goes off for three touchdowns or 200 yards or whatever he does, you know, 10 receptions, that alone can overcome a lot of mistakes in your lineup that week. So that I basically picked him up week one. And, you know, as smart as it might come off to pick up these guys, it still comes down to weekly management of a lineup. And a horrible example of overthinking, championship week, 10 minutes before game start, I benched Reed and started Julius Thomas. So it was about a 22-point swing the wrong way.
Ooh. Yeah, that's the way to pull the trigger right there. Brian, switching back to the Southern Bluegrass for this coming year, I see you're kind of rounding out your event. You're doing something a little different. Since you don't have the roulette and crap tables and poker tables, you're going to roll out a golf game on Friday. Is that right?
Yeah, well, this is about the third year in a row we've done this golf game at the Bowling Green Country Club on Friday afternoon. And I'm trying to get the Bowling Green Country Club to help cater our Friday night fantasy draft event. Last year, I did what they call a Tri-City Showdown contest. And sponsored by the SBFSC, we did two drafts in Bowling Green, and went to the draft in Louisville. And this year, I'm going to try to do another draft like maybe in Louisville or the Nashville area, kind of having some regional 12-team drafts, kind of get a feel for the SBFSC, but then have like a city champion for each one of them. And And it's a great way to prepare for the SPFSC. Jim was in the Friday night event as well. He won some good money there. And that shows it's a good way to prepare and practice the SPFSC. One thing about the SPFSC is also different from contests in Las Vegas is that you only have one chance to win the SPFSC main event. Now, I'll do other satellite leagues. I'll do, the Friday night drafts and other side events, but once it comes to have that main event, I mean, everybody's equal. You got one chance, one shot.
I do.
Online or live.
I do like that. I agree with that format where you've got one entry, so make it count. So I guess my golf game, since it's so horrific, I could be the designated driver, except for I'd have to stay dry. But could I troll for some information from guys? Do you try to pump them for what they're like that night?
Yeah, most definitely. Like I was envisioning, too. Have some podcasts going on, do some interviews, and just make a pre-draft party out of it.
So Chris, he's got an auction on 8:30 morning Saturday. I think that's something we should give some heavy consideration to. I like that early startup. How about you?
I'm completely fine with that. Hopefully, well, especially if it's Saturday morning and the golf game is the day before, we just need to drink them under the table. So the other league members, so we're good.
Well,
I like this.
I'm gonna tell you what. I did an auction league with my buddies Matt Krantz and Jeff Richardson, and we came to the auction drunk. And somebody was asking, "Well, when did you start drinking?" I said, "Friday."
Well, yeah, I've seen the pictures with Buffalo Trace hanging around. If you're not a bourbon drinker, it's a quick and easy way to start to become one because it's one of the smoother tasting bourbons out there. So it's a danger zone. Hey, Jim, let's just get at least one more tip in for some listeners who fell short, me included this year. How about a couple of tips of things you would say, hey, don't do when you're getting ready for a draft? Like, say two things you shouldn't do. And two things you should do.
Okay, sure. As far as what the things that I try to focus on is, I go in knowing the rules. You have to know how free agency does. Most leagues nowadays, you can look back at history and see how free agent bidding goes, things like that. So,
amen, brother.
Yeah, you can see not everyone spends $990 out of a $1,000 budget on the very first free agent of the week, So you can see patterns and things like that. So scoring, things like scoring, when you're going to be doing free agent bidding, so all those things are important things to know. So that's the first thing I would say. The second is stay involved. Free agency, I think I had 2 weeks, maybe one, out of the total 15 weeks through the playoffs, from week one to the 15 weeks season. I think I had 2 weeks that I did not bid on someone. And it's just because I didn't win it, but I did attempt to. But, you could turn a season around, especially in the format of the big tournaments like this and the Las Vegas tournaments. You could start off 0-5 and completely hit on a couple of free agents that pick you on an 8-game win streak. And you're fourth seed in the playoffs, and all of a sudden you make a 3-week run and you're sitting in a lot of money. So just stay involved in the league. It makes it more competitive. It's fair for everyone. So those are the two main things I'd say. And the last thing I'd say, what you should do is trust your gut. Like I said, you can sit and analyze 15 different ways and look at 15 different websites and come up with a different answer every time. But in the end, you got to make that call. So go with your gut, right or wrong. I mean, it's fantasy football, guys. We don't control anybody on the field. Best pick,
no, sir.
Best pick that I had was Julio Jones. And worst pick I had was Andrew Luck. Back-to-back pick. So,
yeah.
It happens. As far as things not to do, in my personal opinion, come to draft. Come prepared. Don't walk in, pick up a magazine on the way in that's printed 4 months ago, and you draft someone who was basically put on IR 3 weeks ago or, who got traded to a bad situation. I see that every year in lots of leagues. That's the first thing. Second thing is it's usually a draft takes, 3 hours? Live drafts like this?
Yes, it does. That's including brakes and, you know, yeah, and everything. Like, you know, they're gonna you.
So they do a great job of that, but be prepared to stick it out for 3 hours. I see a lot of people throw a great draft up in the first 10 picks, and then the second half of the draft, they just really don't care. And that's where my draft won the title. So those are the things that I would say are really important. And before I get off, can I say a couple of things about the SBFSC, just from my point of view?
Absolutely.
Okay. I was looking for a live draft, reached out to Brian, I believe on Football Guys, and I posted something out there that said, hey, I'm looking for a live draft. My local league has kind of fell apart. We do it online now, and I'm missing the live draft. Brian invited me up, about a 6.5-hour drive for me to get up, but I really missed it, came up to this, and was immediately hooked. Met Brian and these guys on Friday night, sat in on one of the Friday night drafts. The next day, came to the event, actually participated in two drafts before the main event. And from that point on, I was just like, this is outstanding. You know, they've got it running right. It's growing every year. And because it's not 10,000 people yet, you can create a lot of really good friendships that carry on throughout the year. I've got 4 or 5 guys that I talk to pretty much on a regular basis throughout the year, and I see them once a year at the SBFSC. So, the food's great. The Bourbon Trace does a fantastic job. Brian does a great job setting it all up at the Nicely Center. And they've, what can you say? You've got the WKU dance team girls hosting it, helping host it. So, for a guy that just wants to enjoy football on the weekend, drafts, live draft, and against people you know and people you don't know, smart, knowledgeable football crowd, it's a fantastic event.
Yeah, and you can do this. That's what we keep telling folks. You're listening to this show and you're participating in leagues. Trust us, you can get in there and you can run with these dogs, man. You can sit there, you'll see their drafts, and they'll chat back and forth with you about draft boards, and you'll have a great time. Couldn't agree and echo Jim more. In fact, Brian probably doesn't remember this, but when he and I first met, probably about a year and a half ago now, 2 years ago in Louisville, I walked in. I was only in the ballroom for maybe 7 or 8 minutes, and he was there with a friend. I don't know who he was there with, but he's just about to draft a team. He says, hey, sit down behind me and give me some of your thoughts on some of these players draft with me. I don't know if you remember that or not, Brian. You're sitting there with two Chris Johnson jerseys on, man.
Yes, and I tell you what, that's Chris Johnson's jerseys. Came a long way. You can the jerseys I've got now, I've paid $100 full price for them. Now you can see them on the eBay yard sale you site for $1 a piece for the Tennessee Titans. But I think Bob, you and I have bonded whenever we started even more in Las Vegas when we talked about different types of the bourbons and the alcohols, and we got the similar divisions, and Jim is. Yeah. Jim talked about the SBFSC. I appreciate his endorsement of good words, and he's exactly right. In Las Vegas, you don't know necessarily who won the event beforehand. You don't necessarily know who won the KFFSC before because they've got more owners.
Yeah.
See, in the SBFSC, you still have a local draft, buddy-buddy feel, and you know most everybody.
Yeah.
And, whenever Jim comes to claim his trophy this year, most people don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And they're going to already know him. And the ones that don't know him are going to get beat by him.
Well, outstanding. Outstanding, gentlemen. I want to thank you, Chris, and I both want to thank you. All Purpose Roto wants to thank Brian. And we're going to get Brian on the show regularly here, probably once a month, to give us his opinion on the upcoming things and transactions through the season. And, Jim, a wholehearted congratulations on a great, great season where you – overcame some injuries and surprise happenings to early drafts, played that free agent market, and took home the championship. Many congrats to you, Jim.
Thank you guys for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for being on the show, Brian. Really appreciate it.
And I appreciate you letting me come on. And just remember, the SBFSC, it feels like they're in Las Vegas. It's still got that home folk feel. So look forward to coming back on the show anytime, guys. Anytime you want me to come on, I'll be there.